This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Today we kick off our family series. All month long, we'll look at what's unique about the Black family and explore the struggles and solutions. Today, critics like comedian Bill Cosby say an increase of single-parent homes and absent fathers are at the root of Black America's problems. How does this conversation play out in real homes on the day-to-day? We've got with us Jerry Large, a Seattle Times staff columnist who wrote an article titled, "Cosby Was Right to Say What He Thinks, We All Should." Also, Teresa Muhammad, an English professor at Onondaga Community College in Syracuse. She edited the book Essays in Response to Bill Cosby's Comments About African-American Failure. And Anthony Bradley, a research fellow at the Acton Institute and a professor at the Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis. Welcome all.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, Julia.
So, Professor Muhammad, let me just jump right in with you. You have this book that you've edited, Essays in Response to Bill Cosby's Comments About African-American Failure. Obviously, Bill Cosby is someone who has been involved in education, but he's known mainly as an actor and a television producer. Why has he taken the lead, you think, in putting this issue on the table in a way where there has to be a response?
Well, I suppose because he had the Cosby Show on for so long, and it represented families, and there was certainly a lot of discussion around that show, whether or not that show represented the typical Black family. So it was a lot of debate on that. And certainly having gone on to, get his doctorate in education, I think these things kind of came together for him. So I see it as maybe a natural response out of the show and his background as well. And I think he's taken the lead because he's sort of stirred up the controversy and got people talking about it. He's been vocal about his points. He has taken the sort of, quote, tough love approach. And a lot of people don't agree with that. And so there's been a lot of controversy brought out with his initial comments.
Let me just go to actually a little bit more on what he's been doing recently. He's got this book with Dr. Alvin Poussant, who also worked as a consultant on The Cosby Show, called Come On, People. And they both went on Meet the Press. On that show, Cosby said, quote, "Children need the guidance. The other parent needs help as well, because if a home is set with one parent, we're in big trouble." And here's what Dr. Poussant had to say.
The boys and the girls don't have fathers. And every study indicates that the involvement of fathers is very important to their good and healthy development. But that's not happening. And many of these fathers don't even know what to do as a father, because many of them grew up in homes that were fatherless.
Jerry, is that the crux of it? Single-parent homes, particularly headed by women?
I don't think that's the entirety of it. Single-family homes headed by women that's a trend in lots of communities. And the problem with the Black family, however, is that we have a deeper hole often to dig ourselves out of. And it's more difficult to do that with one person heading a household than it is with two people working at it. But there's a lot more involvement than the composition of the household.
Anthony, is there a balance between these different ideas of what can help out a family? Is there a way to talk about fatherlessness and not make it seem, as Bill Cosby has been accused of, seem like an attack on people who are trying their best?
Well, it's actually not an attack on people who are trying their best. What it is a focus on the fact that marriage and family is the best context to raise children. We're thinking about this way. What context is going to provide our country, our neighborhoods, with well-formed citizens? And we're thinking about it in terms of contributions that are made into the lives of children that form them into virtuous people. And so what we want to balance is realizing that it is true that there are people who are trying really hard, but it's not the best context. So the question on the table really is, what's the best context for children to become fully functional, psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually healthy adults?
Let me follow up with that, though. Even if that is the case, and some people may add different caveats like, well, two parent is not as good if there are conflicts between the parents or cycles of abuse, then one parent may actually be better. But let's put that aside for a second. What about the pool of available men in particular in the African-American community? Even if there was some consensus, this is the way to go, would it be possible at this point in time?
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is about 95% of unmarried fathers were working during the year of their child's birth. And so what we have, I mean, even though their median annual income was $17,500, we find that mothers are in romantic relationships with their fathers. They actually are marriable. The question is, why are they not getting married? Why is it that there is a choice and preference to have children outside of the context of marriage?
Professor Muhammad, you're married, but you have been a single parent. How do you view this from the inside out, both as an academic and as someone who is raising your own family? What are the reasons why marriage can form a stronger environment for kids? And maybe are there any circumstances that you think that might not be the case?
Okay. Although there's been a lot of controversy and debate around the statements that Dr. Cosby made, and I think on Meet the Press, Dr. Poussin cited that 70% of black babies are born to single mothers. And that does, and no one's arguing that that doesn't have a negative impact. And it certainly does in three major ways. And first of all is the economic. And that's because our society is very competitive, and it takes a two-person income in most instances to maintain middle-class status. So this causes single-parent households to lag behind and creates many hardships for parents and children, such as in housing, safety, health care, schools. And largely, it equates into a lack of preparation for future success because there may not be any means to provide such things as tutoring, SAT preparation, saving for college, exposure to other ways of existing. So certainly, this can be done in some single-parent households, but generally, within the inner cities, it's very difficult to do.
Let me ask about you specifically. What was the worst part for you about being a single parent, and what did you draw on to make a difference for yourself and your child?
Well, I think that it takes a lot of hard work to make it as a single parent. It also takes some luck. And I don't think everyone has the wherewithal to do that because there are a lot of challenges and obstacles. And looking at it from both sides, you have that guidance, that extra guidance for the children when it's a two-parent household that may be lacking in a single-parent household. There's always that second set of eyes and hands with two parents in order to support their children's efforts, particularly when both parents are working, as well as having role models for the future. And studies show that girls need fathers just as much as boys. There's also that emotional support, which is another important piece. Studies after studies have shown that children do better in two-family households. Emotional support is extremely important for black families because they are apt to be faced with racism. And a strong family unit can provide a shield for children to be able to develop without internalized inferiority complexes that we sometimes see in young black children. And those internalized feelings can take away their sense and hope and their meaning. And when a child's life is devoid of hope and meaning, we begin to see these behavioral concerns that Dr. Cosby speaks about, such as teen pregnancy, gangs, and all of these other things. So clearly, looking at it from both sides, there is an advantage to two-parent households. With this said, blacks should work together to promote stronger black families. And I think black professionals, such as psychologists, historians, social scientists, must come together to seek solutions and plot avenues for advancement in this area.
In case you're just tuning in, this is NPR's News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We are talking about the future of the black family. We've got Teresa Muhammad, an English professor at Onondaga Community College in Syracuse, New York. Also Anthony Bradley, a research fellow at the Acton Institute and a professor at the Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis. And Jerry Large, a Seattle Times staff columnist. So, Jerry, as a columnist, very often people will just tell you whatever is on their mind, I'm sure. Just write into you, email value. What do you hear from people in your community about this? How seriously are people taking this debate over how to deal with fatherlessness, how to deal with lack of married couples? What sides of the issue are they coming out on?
Well, I hear from people on very diverse sides of the issue, people who think that that this is something specific to black families, that the lack of fathers in the household when that's not really the case. I mean, it may be more acute, but it's not worse. I certainly hear from people who are concerned about all of the problems that Cosby brings up when he's talking about what people aren't getting from black families. I mean, the misbehavior of kids, the lack of achievement in schools, and those sorts of things. And I hear about that from people who are black and from people who aren't black, who worry about those things. Or in the case of many of the people I hear from, and in the case of some other people, they don't worry about them. They just think that that's something that's endemic to black people. And that's obviously one of the reasons that there was such a controversy over Bill Cosby talking about these things in the first place.
Anthony, let me get Anthony in here for a second. The whole idea that this is endemic to black people, whether that's a outright slander or stereotype, how has this conversation expanded beyond the African-American community? Because it's a conversation that, you go back to the Moynihan Report, has been a through line, not just within black America, but also this dialogue between black America and other Americans. How does this play out across the broader spectrum of dialogue in American society?
Ferrari, that's a great question. I mean, this is actually a moral crisis. It's a moral issue, and we find this problem evident not only among blacks who are poor, but also whites who are poor. We find the same social pathologies, out-of-wedlock births, high drug abuse rates, as a function of people who are living in poverty. There's something about the American consciousness that we have not paid enough attention to meeting the needs of those who are poor, regardless of their race. What you'll find is in poor white communities, you'll find the exact same rates, actually, of kids born out of wedlock and kids not performing who are raised in single-parent homes. So there's a moral issue with respect to why people are not getting married that actually spans across race when we think more about class. I think we may be confused because we see these pathologies played out in concentrated communities and urban areas, that we forget that these pathologies are also found in rural areas. We can look at the Appalachian sections of West Virginia, and you'll find the exact same things.
Regardless of whether this is more linked to race or more linked to class, so many different people are putting different solutions on the table. I'm going to go around to each of you. What have you seen that you think works? Teresa?
Well, I think the message that Bill Cosby sent out to single parents, they took it as an offense, the way he made it. So, but I think the message that needs to be sent to black single parents is that there needs to be more partnership in parenting so that these children have a better preparation for the future and a much more closer and harmonious relationship between the parents for the benefit of the children. So even if you're in a single parent situation, you need to co-parent with that child, whether you're married or not, because we can work and strive towards bringing the black family back, but we still have over 70% of the households that have single parents. And so we should begin to work with these individuals and help them because we live in that competitive society and children need tools and support to succeed. And both parents must provide these tools. So if we can get the parents to begin to work together for the good of their children, this would be a good first step. And over the years, black women have done a wonderful job of holding the black family together. So this is not to make a comment against them. But they cannot raise children alone. And also the times have changed. Many of the successful groups in America developed strong family units to protect, nurture, and guide their children to help them advance and be successful. And so I think we need to help these single parents acquire the tools that they need to help their children be successful.
Anthony, is there a role that religious communities should play beyond offering top-down moral guidance? Should there be a practical application of starting family therapy ministries or things like that within churches, within religious contexts?
Well, one of the things that we've seen over the last 40 years in the Black community is a decline of the influence of the Black church. Cosby and Poussaint both encouraged Blacks to return back to the faith that formed and shaped strong Black marriages and strong Black families since slavery. And that when marriage and family is taken out of the context of good church formation, we find that men are not committed to their wives and children. And so there are lots of things that churches can teach in terms of what it means to be a man, what it means to be a godly woman, why one should love and nurture their children to form and shape them into wonderful citizens and wonderful people for our communities. And the extent to which we foster a growing connection back to the Black church, we'll begin to see things change.
Jerry, very quick, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I think we're not going to buck the trends that are alive in Western civilization, you know, about marriage. But early intervention with people with young children, women with young children, to help them nurture their children, set standards for them, know what they need to do in order to help their children succeed and give them the backup that they need from a social standpoint.
Well, thank you all. And we've been talking with Jerry Large, a Seattle Times staff columnist, and he joined me from member station KUOW in Seattle. Also, Teresa Muhammad, an English professor at Onondaga Community College. She's at member station WAER in Syracuse. And from member station KWMU in St. Louis, Anthony Bradley. He's a professor at the Covenant Theological Seminary and a research fellow at the Acton Institute.